We really start with the customer or the users and find out what the problem is there, or have them give us a problem and then we work on it, most often with local partners. And then we design something together and come up with a solution that ideally there's already high need and market demand for.
And you're focusing on medical technology. Why is that?
Well, DRIV, we see ourselves as product designers, but as we dug in more, a lot of the users who were coming to us and saying, you know, we have this problem, it was around medical devices and medical problems. And the more we dug in, there's so many opportunities for improved healthcare, improved medical devices. And so it just so happened that the two products we're working on now, which is Brilliance, a phototherapy device, and a prosthetic knee we call Remotion, that was actually users in the field, doctors, prosthetists, coming to us and saying, we don't have a good solution now. Do you have some ideas?
And in a TED Talk, I noticed that you say there's about 3 million people worldwide who need knee replacements. How does one come up with that?
That's a great question. And that's actually one of the challenges we face doing our work, is the lack of really good solid data. So that particular bit of data, it's actually not about knee replacements. It's about how many above knee amputees are there worldwide who don't have access to a prosthetic leg system. The WHO estimates that there's about 30 million amputees per year, and about a third of those are above-knee amputees. And then we estimate that another third of those need a knee about every 3 years. And so that's how we get to 3 million.
Oh my goodness, a knee every 3 years? And is that because they wear out? It's a joint that gets a lot of impact?
They do wear out. And what we see is that amputees will continue wearing them even longer, but they'll have reduced functionality. So even the very high-end knees, they're really only designed for about 3 years.
That sounds really expensive.
It is expensive, and that's one of the reasons why this is a real challenge. When you lose a leg, that's really mobility, that's your livelihood, that's getting to school, that's doing things that, you know, that's another reason why we focused on the knee. And I should also say, an above-knee amputee, they have to wear a more complicated leg system. They have a socket that goes over the residual limb. There's the knee, and the knee's the most expensive, complex component. And then there's a shin-type component, and then the foot. So that knee really can make or break your ability to live a full life.
And how do you design a knee that works really well but is also affordable?
I think the first thing is really understanding, you know, what does your user see as the most important functionality of a product? So in the case of a knee, it was, you know, being able to walk distances, to work outside. Many of our amputees, you know, ride bikes, or want to have, they squat, for example, or kneel. And this is a little bit different than we see with Western behavior. So really understanding first how they're going to use it. And then in the case of us, with DRIV, we're structured as a nonprofit. So we raise philanthropic money to do our product development, our research and development. And so by focusing on the core functionalities of the product, and so you can pare things down to just what's important, and then the fact that we're subsidizing the product development process and don't need to recoup it, we can get to a very affordable product quickly.
As with many projects, your model for bringing technology to developing places, or providing is a better word rather than bringing, it hasn't worked entirely as planned, as is often the case. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Sure. I think our original model was really that if you design a great product and you think about how a product gets to users, you will get a very affordable product to users. But what we've learned, obviously, is that not all markets are efficient, and we can't control distributors. And so we've seen, for example, with Brilliance, our phototherapy device, is we can design it to be very affordable, but then once it reaches, for example, the Philippines, the distributor, in one case, marked it up 300%. Making it less affordable for our target markets. So a lesson learned for us was, you know, we really need to understand individual markets that our products are scaling into, and not just understand them, but build relationships with distributors that we want representing our product and, you know, selling at a price that we think will meet the needs of that market.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's delicate. You can provide the product, but you can't really tell another business how to sell the product.
You absolutely can't. But what we can do is that if you have a product that is, there is demand in the market, we can produce a bit of competition between distributors. And when there's competition, then we can start to dictate the terms a little bit. We ultimately can't control how they sell the product, but we can, for example, revoke a license or a particular agreement if they don't follow a pricing scheme.
Well, Krista Donaldson, thank you so much for taking the time to talk.
Thanks, Elise.